danes bomo predstavili in imeli pogovor s našimi prvimi jaz Slovenci in bom za naprej za vse tiste, ko vas zanima inicijativa, prosim, da prostovoljno se konektate z Slovenijo Australian Chamber of Commerce ali pa z Globalisom. Podatke bomo sicer delili po eventu tudi z vsemi registriranimi, tako da se bomo lažje potem tudi povezali za naprej. Kar sem še mislila, samo na hitrico omeniti glede samega poteka eventa. Event je narejen na podlagi tega, da bo interaktiven s poslušalci. Imeli bomo polls, par vprašanj zadanih iz naše strani, iz strani organizatorjov, za naše poslušalce. Bojo multiple choice, več odgovorov bo možnih in bojo, se pravi, na ekranu se vam pojavili med vprašanji, ki jih bo naš moderator postavil, se pravi, podjetnikom in prezentacijam. Morbit tu pa tam ne bojo v smislu same prezentacije, ampak bo pa zanimivo videti, kakšne odgovore bomo dobili iz občinstva. Ok, za naprej pa vabim dr. Sešuma za predgovor.
Ja, najlepša hvala. Lep pozdrav iz Ljubljane, v živo vsem, kjer ste. Rekli so mi, da imam samo dve minuti, tako da bom bil zelo hiter in povedal teh par pozitivnih podarkov. Meni je vedno izjemna čas se dobiti z vami, z mladimi, z novo energijo, z tisti, ki bi razmišljal globalno, ki so z eno nogo v Sloveniji, z drugo v tujini, ki imate nove, sveže ideje. Meni je fajn, tako ko slišim, da vi mene poslušate, ampak ni res, jaz vas poslušam. Ne? In zdaj ena izmed vaših kolegic, Tara Angelika, je bila moja kratko par dni zgor sodelovka v Rimu. Super punca, super aktivna, celo vaše društvo je dejansko izjemno. Veseli me pa v isti sapi, lahko povem, da me veseli, da je med nami tudi ministrica dr. Helena Jaklič, zato ker smo ravno pred parimi dnevi podpirali eno podjetniško inicijativo, ki je nastala v Braziliji, ki povezuje slovenska podjetja, imenuje Slo Global, sem se navezal na vas. Ampak druga zadeva, da bi šel korak naprej, pa s tem zaključil, zdaj gospodarska diplomacija, kjer se vi lahko povezujete z nami, mi vedno večji podarek dajemo znanstveni diplomaciji, ker za majhno državo, kot je Slovenija, vedno več vstopa v spredje povezovanje med raziskovalnimi inštituti in podjetji z visoko dodano vrednostjo. Vse te ideje, mlade in inovativne, so del tega. Tako da, kolikor sem na začetku povedal, mi vas poslušamo, ne vi nas, mi vam pa stojimo na razpolago kot tisti vzvod, ki bo povezoval vaše mlade ideje, vaše ambiciozne in prodorne ideje. In mi smo tle v službi, da ste pa že vi še vedno ob 7:10 priklopljeni na online in da ste v tolikšnem številu zelo veliko pove o tem, da ste zagrizeni, da si želite nekaj narediti, da nekoga spoznati. In mi vam tu stojimo v strani, mislim, da sem jaz moje dve minute izpolnil in zaključil, tako da bi predal besedo drugim sogovornikom. Ob zaključku bi rad sem to rekel, da mi vse naše kontakte, moje, jaz imam tudi mobitel v podpisu, kjerkoli lahko najdete vse moje kontakte, če vas karkoli zanima, vidim tudi online Juša Javornika, malo premajhen je ekran, tako da res ste izjemni in kot generacija in ideje, ki jih imate, prodorni, čim več takih, kaj z eno nogo v Sloveniji in z drugo v tujini, in da računa na to, da se bo vrnil v Slovenijo, da bo delil v Sloveniji, ampak da nabirate izkušnje po tujini. Moje kontakte in vseh od mojih kolegov dobite na internetu, od mobitela do maila, stojimo vam na razpolago in se veselimo sodelovanja z vami, tako da vam želim še naprej uspešen in lep večer naprej. Hvala.
Hvala lepa, doktor Sešum, za vaš čas in za te spodbudne besede. Res je, ne, da je v Sloveniji ogromnega talenta na tem, v tej starostni skupini, in, ki ga je treba luč tudi na tem koncu sveta podariti na tole. Ne. Ok, zdaj pa predam mikrofon gospe ministrici. Hvala tudi vam za udeležitev.
Ja, najlepša hvala za besedo. Res sem vesela, da se vam danes takole pridružujem. Mlajši generaciji to deluje pravzaprav zelo pozitivno in daje tudi novih moči pa spodbud, pa tudi hkrati neka poklicanost in odgovornost, da smo skupaj z vami v tem. Sama sem tudi res zelo vesela in iskrene čestitke, bom rekla, pomlajeni slovensko-avstralski gospodarski zbornici pod vodstvom gospe Mateje Slobodnik. Moram reči, da v teh tednih sem jo neizmerno občudovala, ko je sredi noči sodelovala na konferencah, povezavah, ki smo jih imeli z namenom krepitve pravzaprav ravno teh gospodarskih povezav, tako da res iskrena hvala za ta entuzijazem in ta zagon, ki se odraža pravzaprav tudi v današnjem dogodku in pa tudi v spostavitvi nove inicijative Yes Entrepreneur, Young Entrepreneurs Slovenija, tako da, ki jo pripravljate pravzaprav skupaj z študentskim društvom za mednarodne odnose Globalis in se veselim današnje predstavitve te inicijative, ki je pravzaprav veliko upanje, pravzaprav naša prihodnost in tudi je že tako res, da na mladih stoji svet in zato tudi prav, da prepoznamo vaš potencial, da prepoznamo in vam damo tudi priložnost, da se pokažete in izkažete in pri tem seveda oplemenitimo skupaj pravzaprav vašo mladostno zagnanost, ki jo slovenski rek tako lepo povzema v mislih oziroma povzema v misli mladost je norost, čez vodo skače, kjer je most. Mogoče se sliši nenavadno ali negativno, ampak pravzaprav ne, sama vidim tem, da je to pravzaprav zaradi te norosti mlad človek, ker ni ukalupljen v že ustaljene poti, pravzaprav spodbuja in premika meje nemogočega. Tako da res želim vam iz vsega srca, da bi ta inicijativa, ki povezuje mlade uspešne podjetnike, ne le uspela, ampak da bi prinašala pravzaprav res odlične sadove v zadovoljstvo mladih, v zadovoljstvo slovenske, avstralske gospodarske povezave in pa seveda vseh nas Slovenije kot države in pa pravzaprav vseh, ki v prihodnosti ne vidimo grožnje, ampak odlične priložnosti in pa seveda nove izkušnje. In najčisto za konec, ker mislim tudi, da sem izkoristila te dve minuti, zaželim pravzaprav čisto vsem vam, ker žal ne bom uspela biti do konca, bom pa maksimalno se potrudila, da bom kar največ poslušala oziroma kasneje poslušala tudi posnetke. Naj vam res zaželim obenem ne le te mladostne zagnanosti, ampak tudi res lepo doživeti božično-novoletne praznike in pa zelo uspešne poti v naslednjem letu, ne le uspešne v smislu gospodarstva, podjetništva, ampak tudi medsebojnega in pa osebnega zadovoljstva. Tako da res vse dobro in pa seveda prisrčen pozdrav Avstralijo. Me veseli, da smo zopet skupaj.
Hvala lepa, ministrica, za te besede. Enake želje seveda pošiljamo tudi iz tega konca. Je pa res, da leži prihodnost na mladih, moram priznati, da mora biti sama prvotna ideja je prišla šleče strani, vendar, ko sem predstavila Tari v Globalisu, je ona v roku enega dneva imela že Word document, dokumentacijo s dvemi strani idej, kako bi se tole začela. Se mi zdi, da od takrat je to, kar po neki naravni poti se razvijalo v zelo kratkem času. Tako da same promocije eventa nismo delali, smo bolj ideje, kako in bi se tole začeli, in potem tudi naprej razvijali v obliki nekega podcasta, ker se pa sicer vedno spopadamo po svetu s temi časovnimi razlikami in bi bilo škoda, da se zamudijo recimo takšni pogovori in predstavitve samo zaradi tega, ker se nekdo ni mogel udeležiti. Tako da v obliki podcasta upam, da se tudi potem to, ta audience bo lahko širi ne, po celem svetu in globini. Tako da hvala vam še enkrat za vse te besede. Res je v Sloveniji ogromnega talenta, ki si zasluži ne, luč. Ne. Tako da sedaj bom popredala Tari, da predstavi Globalis.
Ja, najlepša hvala, Mateja, za besedo. Se pravi, jaz bom samo res par besed namenila tudi naši skupini. Seveda v skupini smo, trenutno nas je 12 članov in res vsi trdo delamo, da to skupino v bistvu nekako zalaufamo, če se lahko tako izrazim, ker smo čisto novi, se pravi, ustanovljeni smo bili oktobra. Smo najnovejša skupina društva Globalis in so v bistvu še nekako Vzpostavljamo tudi nove povezave in še enkrat hvala tudi Mateji, da nas je tako vzela pod to iniciativo Yes, ker res verjamemo v to in mislimo, da lahko skupaj veliko naredimo. Jaz ne bom res preveč dolgovezla, zahvaljujem se vsem prisotnim no, za vso spodbudo in upam, da se veselim še prihodnih srečanj in prihodnih dogodkov organizacije tudi z direktoratom za gospodarsko diplomacijo, kot tudi za uradom in seveda, Mateja, mi bomo to iniciativo še naprej nadaljevali. Zdaj pa ne bi kaj preveč govorila, pa kar predajam besedo kolegu Jušu, ki bo zdaj naprej moderiral tale dogodek, tako da še enkrat hvala vsem, pa upam, da bomo se imeli fajn danes. Hvala.
Yeah, hvala Tara, hvala tudi Mateja. So I'm going to switch to English now just to keep things interesting as we practiced. Yeah, thank you for this and good evening to all participants from my side or good morning for some of you abroad. My name is Yush, I'm also a member of the Globalis Association. Today we gathered here to discuss the issues, challenges, triumphs of young entrepreneurs. Being a young entrepreneur is a unique challenge for multiple reasons. So in addition to studying or becoming an independent individual, it is a special task just to establish and run your company, let alone devote the necessary time to preparation and all related bureaucracy and other obligations, and at the same time be successful in all those fields. Now, how do they do it and how could they do it better? And where can we provide some help? Today, we have six young entrepreneurs with us who will share their stories and give us insight into their business ventures. So just to add, I would like to add that questions are welcome in the chat and we will address them at the end of the debate part, so after the presentations. And also you are welcome to share your contact in the chat because we will send the transcript in the follow-up so you all have each other's contact. So now I invite the first speaker to begin, Marcel from Agencia Statera. The floor is yours, Marcel.
Okay, thank you, Yush. Before I begin, I would also like to thank Slovenian Australian Chamber and Globalis for this event. I think it's a great idea and keep on going. Okay, as you said, I come from Agencia Statera. We are firstly a digital agency. So what we do, we specialize in Facebook advertising, Google advertising, content marketing, graphics design, website design. We also build websites, web stores, video production, etc. Our story began about a year and a half ago when myself and two other colleagues that are the same age as I am, Marco and Nate, began thinking that we should do something, that we should, throw ourselves in this entrepreneurship story. And we started brainstorming and thinking what we could do. And the digital agency idea was the best one, especially the timing was quite good because the coronavirus had hit us just at that time. So that's how the whole idea of Agencia Statera started. We first began working with the largest shopping center in Ptuj, and that's how our story and next clients went on. now, a year and a half later, we experienced quite some difficulties through our advertising campaigns and through our work with clients. And that's how we started to develop an IT solution, which is the second part of our company. So it's basically sort of lead management system that will help us in the future and our clients to get leads online better and, you know, nurture those leads better. So that's basically it about Agencia Statera. So we do advertising and build websites and also develop our own IT solution right now. So, yeah.
Thank you, Marcel. Maybe just a question that is, you know, in every debate we have in the last 2 years. So what, if any, difficulties that you faced in relation to the pandemic? So difficulties or maybe for a marketing agency, you know, advantages of people spending more time online. So maybe your insight into that.
Yeah, well, like I said, the whole Corona thing was actually beneficial to us because many companies started to realize that they have to go online. But at the same time, as companies realize that they have to go online, there's many companies that don't quite get digital world and think that things happen overnight. So I would say that the whole digital world became overflood with such companies. So there were benefits and disadvantages also to digital agencies in that point of view.
Yeah, that's understandable. But do you think because you're a young person in this business, which is, if we take into consideration the social media and all that, do you think you were considered, you know, more appropriate, less appropriate, being a very young entrepreneur, a young company, or did it play no role at all?
I would say at the beginning, yes, maybe, because at the beginning we also, you know, we were searching for clients, so we said yes to everything, and people at first thing, what first thing that our clients saw was, okay, you're young, you're using social media, you can do this. But later on, when we gained some extra experience and knowledge, I would say that our partners that we are working now, they don't see us because we are young, you know, that we know how to do it, but because we know how to do it, it doesn't matter how old we are. So, but at the beginning, yeah, I would say that that was the first assumption. Okay, you're young, you know how to do social media, just do it.
Yeah. You said that you just picked up upon every client that approached you at the beginning. So how do you go about choosing who to work with now that you're more established?
Well, I think that we give a lot of we give a lot to relationship, you know, because it's very important that you have a healthy relationship with the client to, you know, understand each other, because you as an agency at the end you have to feel their company, their product, and market it like it's your own, you know, because that's the only way you can perform good and the company performs good and everyone are happy. So I would say that we don't look for clients but for partners.
That's a very nice motto. Now, just for the last question, did you or do you, or have you studied the field in which you're working? And if so, how did your studies help with, do you think it helped at all? Or just maybe first answer if you did, so I don't, you know.
Yeah, yeah, actually I did. I studied entrepreneurship and I'm also doing master's of it. It's a very interesting question because I would say that, yeah, partly yes, the whole, you know, entrepreneurship gave me some skills, but what's more important for me, you're in an environment of individuals that all went for a reason to study entrepreneurship. So those are your potential partners, clients, competition at the end of the day. And I think that's the greatest benefit that studying entrepreneurship gave me. So yeah, that would be.
So it's not just a studying, but also a networking opportunity.
Yeah. Exactly.
Perfect. Thank you, Marcel. And now we move on to our next speaker. We have the poll. The question was, in your opinion, what type of Slovenian business would perform well internationally? This is where AI and digital economy took the lead by far. Do you think that this is what we should focus? Because given that we are a small country, AI as an abstract place is somewhere where we can overcome the size issues.
I would say that's definitely the way to go, because we are a small country. We have a beautiful nature around it, and we have the knowledge. And you're all day working in digital services, developing software, artificial intelligence, and the best thing is that you end the work and you go outside, And the benefit of doing digital services is that you can be anywhere in the world, and why not be here in Slovenia?
Perfect. That's very nice to hear. Okay, so I would like some help from my colleagues. Who is the next speaker who would like to go next?
I think it was me.
It was you? Yeah. Perfect. Go ahead, Jakob, from Open Edge Technologies. The floor is yours.
So hello, everyone. Thank you to the organizers for the kind invite to present my company, the product. My name is Jakob Sadar, and my company is OPS Technologies. The product is OPS-based. It's an organic polishing structure and has been also called a revolutionary paste in the field of polishing special tools. Through its circular economy module, OPS Paste offers companies competitive prices and eco-friendly solutions. Why I say this? It's made from bowing horn parts, making it very cost efficient. This also makes OPS a few times cheaper than the processing of synthetic diamonds, which is in current technique used by its competitors. Our product combines youthful energy and valuable knowledge gained from earlier generations. But we all have one thing in common, and that is passion, in particular, passion for work, which we seek the most sustainable solution to care for our planet. Well, that makes the OPS the material of the future.
Thank you. So maybe I'll start with the question which I finished with Marcel. So how did your studies or your background influence your business? Because if I recall correctly, as I was reading an article, it was you and your colleague from I think it's called middle school or high school, and that's how it began. So maybe expand upon that a bit.
It all started with the competition, which is actually was a competition in my high school. I actually have a story that I needed to, I have a, like in the end of the fourth grade, you have a mature exam and everything, and you need to make, work, you need to make a product or a service. So I thought, what should I do? And then actually came that idea, which is actually a fun story, I can tell. It actually was I borrowed my father's watch and I immediately scratched it. So you can imagine how I felt, not knowing what to do. I started rubbing with my fingernail and my nail. And after a few minutes with rubbing with my fingernail, I noticed that the scratch was slowly disappearing. So that gave me an idea, and after that, I actually called my friend Philip, which is now in a separate city, not with me. And we started to think what should we do with this idea, and that actually came here, which I'm currently I'm actually studying the mechanical engineering, so it's actually my specialty. That's the idea.
Perfect. And would you say your product is very unique, but given that you know way more about this market, is there something common on the market already? Or is this such a niche that you could, you know, go global or international fast?
Well, the paste is unique. Well, my paste is unique because it's made from bone or parts. But currently market, there are synthetic paste made out of synthetic diamonds, which is very expensive, seven times more expensive than my paste. So that also is a quite competitive advantage. And yeah, there are pastes which are almost the same as mine, but not exactly the same. Well, it's made from synthetic diamonds, which is very hard to make because you need to make diamonds on very high temperature and everything. But I think it's very unique because it's very green in some, if you say like that, because it's actually from the horns, from the cows. And it's basically just another thing from the business.
Nice. And would you say what is you said the one of the big advantages was the price because you keep it so much lower. And now to connect with the previous speaker's question, was the your age or your being a new company in the market a big disadvantage for you? How did people consider you? How did they approach you?
I'm quite young. I'm actually 19, so the age was. I was very impressed by the feedbacks that I got from the every connection that I made. So it was very fun for me to get to know that I'm actually that young and in this line of work. So I don't know, yes, maybe.
And would you say, one of the major next steps going even more international? Or maybe even now you can explain how fast did you go international? Did you go international or regional maybe? And what are your target markets maybe?
I could say that, my markets are currently just abroad because I know that my product is a very specific point of the market. So I'm a bit
no problem. Take your time.
The product is very strict. It's only for some buyers that I that are very much into the polishing special tools. So maybe I know that that the paste is not for only the Slovenian market. It's more for like very global because it has a lot of potential and that kind of stuff.
So locally in Slovenia, you say there is practically no demand for this, or is just the market too, let's say, conservative to accept such a new product?
The market is very it's very specific because in the factories and everything which are. I'm very nervous, as you see.
Oh, no problem. You can say it in Slovenia if you want it. It's
it's okay. Well, the market is very strict, like I said a million times, but the usage is more of a global thing, not in the Slovenia, because, well, the market in Slovenia is very, it's very like old generated. So it's not, we have one thing and that's it. We will not change it. But so I'm here that I can change their thought of how can you do that?
Thank you. The one more question regarding the expo. If I'm not mistaken, you were how were you involved with it?
We went there to just present the idea and to actually look for partners and people who might be interested in this kind of sort of stuff. And the feedbacks that I got were amazing. A lot of people were interested. I didn't thought that it could bring such an inspiration to this part of the market, like I said.
That's very nice. So your product was appreciated.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Now we're moving on to Mai from Juicy Marbles. Mai, the floor is yours.
Hi, guys. Thanks for inviting me. Appreciate it. And it's great to see so many young entrepreneurial faces here sharing stories and challenges and stuff. Also thank you for this bilingual exercise. Lovely after a long day. My brain is melting as I speak, but let me begin. So my name is Mike Rawat, and I'm a co-founder and head of R&D, a CTO of Juicy Marbles. Juicy Marbles is a startup that makes juicy and marbled plant-based steaks. So you might have heard of products, food products, such as Beyond Burgers, Possible Burgers, Amaze Burgers, Alt Burgers, Burgers of the World, and they all have this one thing, or multiple things in common, but one of the things they have in common, they are all minced meat products, or minced meat analog products. What we do with our patent pending technology is basically structure the same ingredients that they use, so plant proteins, into a texture that reminds a customer of a steak. So we're basically specialized in whole cuts of plant-based meat. A few things that also make us interesting, perhaps, in this conversation. Is that we were part of Y Combinator's Winter 21 cohort. So for all of you that don't know, Y Combinator is one of the best, if not the best startup accelerators based in San Francisco. And after doing a program there that basically was from January to March in this year, there was a demo day. And after demo day, in 1 month, we were able to raise our seed round, which was $4.5 million. So it's quite a lot of money that we are now happily spending to build the first plant-based steak factory here in Domžale. So if you're nearby, just give me a call and I'll show you around. And if you have any questions, I'm always here for you.
Thank you so much. Congratulations. That is a crazy number. What would you say was your biggest, your major breakthrough? Would you say that it was being included in this startup accelerator or something else?
Yeah, I think the short answer would be just yes. The Y Combinator did the trick because we were basically totally broke before Y Combinator. We had just for one minimum wage salary and minimum wage in Slovenia on our account before we got accepted. And then we got enough money to basically continue the journey. So almost bankrupt at one point. After launching a plant-based burger in Slovenian retailer, maybe you know of a brand Alt Burger, that was a not that successful story, basically a very hard learned lesson on how to commercialize products. But after that, when we got accepted to YC, everything changed. And now I guess we are smooth sailing, at least with some rather large challenges, but everything is going well.
Nice. Well, challenges have to be there, right, to keep you constantly improving. Now, you said you're based in Domžale. Do you see yourself moving the company, expanding the company with different offices abroad, or do you plan on staying in Slovenia? And maybe how many people do you employ? How many employees do you have? And do you mainly employ younger people such as yourself? Do you keep it open for different perspectives? Do you also employ older people or just random?
So many questions for my brain now. So the first one was about offices abroad, right? Right now, the main headquarters are here in Domžale, but we are already setting up offices or at least personnel in the US, because this is one of the target markets we are attacking with our product. And I cannot disclose much detail into who is behind all of this, but basically in the beginning of the next year, part of our team will move to the US to start basically colonize the new land, the new world. And we'll be like a two market, we'll have a two markets presence, one market being the EU, so not Slovenia, but EU, and the other one being US. The next one was number of employees. Currently, full-time, we have 15 people, 15 mostly engineers, so food technologists, biotechnologists. We have microbiologists, and then we have some part-time engineers from biochemistry and mechanical engineering, so like a huge diversity of engineers. And then we also have great designers and brand builders and office managers, so a great team overall.
A bit of everything.
Yes. And the last question was, who do we hire? So the same age or younger or older. So I don't know if it comes to age. We are mostly, for some reason, hiring just people who just finished a degree, be it a master's degree in some science, or we have no one actually with a doctorate, so no one with a PhD, we have a lot of people that are trying to finish masters. So basically, a lot of students are working at our place, but we have also a few bit older people. So we have production workers that are 50 plus, and our CEO is just turned 40 this year. So it's, you know, we are a younger team, but I think there's room for like every age. It's not something that we are really picky about.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. Now we're moving on to Rebecca from Vismedic. If I'm not mistaken, you will have a PowerPoint presentation, right?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah.
Yeah, yesterday they told us that we can make a PowerPoint presentation, and I was making this one in the middle of my lab practice, and now I see I'm the only one who made it. Anyway, I would also like to thank you all for inviting me and for making this event happening. It's really nice. And now I would like you to present what Vismedic even is. So Vismedic is a line of natural cosmetics that is made out of bee products. And I believe that you have probably all come across beekeepers selling their bee stuff, and maybe even like us noticed that the spectrum of the products that they are selling is pretty much the same and not very big. So it could include usually honey and maybe bee wax candles, some bee pollen and some other products, but that's pretty much it. So what we wanted to do is to lift and elevate these honey and bee products and give them some extra value. And we also knew that honey and bee products are very good for the skin. They have this antioxidant and antibacterial and hydrating properties. So we decided to include them into cosmetics, and that's how Bismedic came into the world. So maybe if you can put the next slide on. The idea behind it is also to connect to local beekeepers and support them by buying honey and bee products from them. And on the next slide, you can see our team. So currently behind Bismedic, there is me and Maya. On the next slide, yeah, that's us. And then on the next slide, I also put it on some pictures of really cute gifts that we currently are selling. So if anyone is still last minute Christmas shopping, I invite you to maybe check our webpage and see if you can find something for yourself. And on the last slide, you can also see just the information for LinkedIn and Instagram, where you can maybe connect with me or check out our story and our products. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. So just to keep it interesting, what is your best-selling product at the moment?
At the moment, I think it would be the gift package that you could just see on the picture. We connected to one beekeeper that is making this creamy honey that also includes some fruit. And then there is also our lip balm. And it's just a cute package that doesn't cost too much. And people are buying it for gift because it's, I think you cannot go wrong with it. So I think this is the product right now.
Have you considered going international, so abroad, given that now maybe when Slovenia is big on promoting bees and beekeeping as a part of our national identity, do you think there's a, you want to go in that direction, or do you want to keep it local for now?
We just chose to start in Slovenia, but definitely, and since the beginning, we also had this wish to go international, especially when we were selling our products and there came some tourists from Dubai and Saudi Arabia, and they were so excited, I think because honey there is pretty rare and very expensive. And so when they saw this honey cosmetics, they just bought a bunch of it. And I think that maybe Arab countries would be interesting, but also USA, I think honey is also appreciated there.
Do you think did anyone from like public institutions or any such known institution reach out to you for gifts of your products, as it's such a Slovene product?
Yeah, they did. And what's interesting is that last year we were like sending emails to a bunch of different institutions and people to buy our products for sponsor gifts, and it wasn't a successful campaign. But this year we didn't do it as much, but we got quite a lot of institutions asking us if we could sell them our products to give them away as a sponsor gift. So
it's very nice they approach young businesses as well. Thank you, Rebecca, so much. And now we move on to the next speaker, which I think is Trislet. So Micha, will you be
presenting? I will have to unmute myself first. So hi everyone, thank you for having me. I was pretty sure that I was going to do my my part in Slovenian language, but now I I don't want to look bad. So here it goes. Well, I would like to mostly talk about why we do it, not what we do, because Trislet is not the main thing that we want to do in our lives, actually. It's the matter why we do it that's more important to us, and which basically is we want to connect companies with doing good for people and nature. This is the main thing that we do, and this is also why we do it, because we want to create a sustainable and fair future for everyone in this planet, included people, included animals. And what we do at the moment, and this at the moment is really important, because we believe that this is not what we will do in 10 years, but it's a great start. So Trislet basically is a project, is a tree planting project, and at the moment our resources come from selling bracelets online. Basically, if we look at just strictly business-wise, we are an e-commerce that sells bracelets, and apart from the resources that we get, goes for tree planting, and the other part goes for the development of our project. And this, the other part, is more important to me than the actual tree planting at the moment. Why? Because I believe that we get enough resources to investigate, or just to see other opportunities where we can have the greatest impact possible in this world. This is what we do, and we consider ourselves as a lab of entrepreneur, like being entrepreneurs in the best possible way. Because we believe that companies are actually the biggest influencers today, and the superheroes that, like, just decide either you're a villain or a superhero, and we want to be superheroes. That's what we do.
Very nice. So if I understood correctly, or did the idea to, you know, make the world a better place come first, and then you realized that the entrepreneurial way is the way to go? Or were you all entrepreneurs in the beginning and then also found a passion for making the world a better place? Or is it not, you cannot really point it out?
I'm pretty sure it's both equally, because we are all entrepreneurs, and we believe that we can scale our impact as a company in the best possible way. This is where we come from. So yeah, it's also very important to say that in modern society, we must not allow that we don't connect doing good with profit, because profit is the drive for doing good, and you always have two options what to do with profit. Either you grab it, or you decide to explore what other options are there in this world to make it better. Or the third option is, you know, just to do bad stuff with it. we want to be as good as possible.
That's very nice, very noble. Now, maybe what was your most interesting project? Because if I recall, I've seen on your social media that you were in Africa planting some trees, right?
So Tanzania is one of our main projects. Just to put it in context, at the moment we have 9 tree planting projects. We don't plant trees in Slovenia because it's we don't have trouble or problems with deforestation or, you know, losing forests, stuff like that. But we try to focus on areas that need trees the most. So, for example, Indonesia, Madagascar, Tanzania, the Amazon rainforest, and so on and so on. And Tanzania is one of our favorites, because we also visit It's our tree planting team in March, and we are again visiting them in April or May. We believe that the more we'll be in contact with what we actually do, the more we'll be authentic to our community, which will also lead to more supporters, which basically means more traveling means more resources for project. But yeah, not traveling just for traveling, but again, to try to use it for doing good and try to spread the message and be an inspiration for individuals and companies.
Very nice. That's very important. Thank you. Thank you, Micha. And now we're moving on to Nika Kristina from Epidemic. So the floor is yours.
Hi. Okay. Last but not least, hopefully. First of all, I would like to thank you as well for inviting me to be a part of this. And thank you, Tara, for your answers today, because I was missing the rehearsal yesterday. So my name is Nika Kristina. I'm 27, so a bit older than some of you. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Epidemic. At Epidemic, we believe that a brand is no longer what we tell consumers it is. It is basically what consumers tell each other it is. As a response to this sort of thinking, we have developed an algorithm that is based on artificial intelligence, uses image recognition and natural language processing, and finds the best people online that represent certain brands. So if we get completely plastic here, if you imagine Instagram or like a person's Instagram profile, there is a picture, right? And then there is some text which represents the bio. And then there is a whole net of pictures or videos with captions. What Anton does, the name of our algorithm, what Anton does is he reads the captions, the bios, and correlates it to whatever the image recognition system gets from the posted pictures and videos. What we want to achieve by that is bring authenticity back into the social media advertising world. Our algorithm, maybe something worth of mentioning, our algorithm was also awarded by Amazon. And we received a really nice reward in recognition of our business, which was like 3 months after we started. So it was great, like you're going in the right direction kind of sign. We have started this company 2 years and 10 days-ish ago. I just had LinkedIn remind me of that. Which is also maybe the right time to tell the normal thing about the name. We were not named after COVID. The funny thing was that I really, really love word games and I really wanted a strong name. So we were playing with the idea of how to name something, which tells you how fast something can spread if you would place it correctly. We did not know then that almost the same time, a bat was eaten in China, and we will get a demonstration internationally of how fast something can spread if you place it correctly, but it was the logic behind the idea. So in 2 years, briefly, we've grown over 700% revenue-wise, geographically-wise, and team-wise. So right now we have active campaigns in 20 EU markets, United States, Canada, and Australia. So I wanted to answer your last question on the poll, but there was no option of being already there. We're now just over 25 full-time people, but most of them are remote because we have a local in every market we are in, unless it's in a group of languages where one person can cover more local communities. So the last thing to mention, the last big step for Epidemic in this year, we were at Web Summit, where, by the way, I have also tried the filet mignon from Juicy Marbles, and it's really, really awesome. Maybe if anybody doesn't know, Web Summit is at least according to Forbes, the biggest world the biggest global, like the most important technology event. So for us, getting among more than 2,000 competitors in the final 15 companies presenting on the big stage in front of like 40,000 people, for which I lost at least 5 years of life, but we will never know until, you know, it will be only the 5 years remaining. But it was a really, really big step. So yeah, I think about it.
Thank you. Do you think that you mentioned that the naming of the company coincided with the actual pandemic. Do you think that helped your business to make the brand more recognizable or slow it down?
I don't know. Like at the beginning, honestly, we were thinking, as I think almost everybody did, okay, this is not gonna last. So we can just like really try to close both eyes and wait for it to pass by. Because we all really love the name. We tried changing it because we were super afraid of the negative connotation which started appearing. Also, this got even stronger with the anti-vaxxer movements. And then, for example, now if we want to do a group that involves our company name, like in Facebook groups, we cannot because of those movements. So. It was kind of a, like we tried, we brainstormed a lot, but we didn't get anything remotely as cool as Epidemic. So then we did a lot of customer interviews, influencer interviews, and we figured out that people are actually not correlating us with COVID. But I always say, guys, when we get global, we will rename to Pandemic.
that's a very clever plan. Now, if I heard correctly, you said that after 3 months already, you got recognized and picked up, rewarded by Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you manage to get so recognized in such a short notice from inception?
Yeah, maybe here a disclaimer wouldn't hurt. This is not my first company. So my second startup. My first startup was called Boomerang. It was a hybrid in a mobile app, so a hybrid between mobile gaming and a lottery. We were quite okay, like around 300,000 users in the Philippines. I exited due to personal reasons, but I did really learn the initial do's and don'ts. And we got exactly to the investment phase with Boomerang before I went out. So until then, I already tried to like really do it as fast as possible. And Martin, our CTO, who the Anton's dad basically, he's a real brainiac, so that didn't hurt either.
Thank you. Maybe a more serious question this bit. Do you think your gender played any role in how people approached you, done business with you, anything like that?
Of course. I mean, we're now, I had the hunch that I will be getting this question. I think it's like a very slippery slope and a broad sea, but I think that we should discuss this because I think it's a funny question from the beginning. Of course, it played a role because women are men and men are never going to be the same. I'm not saying that we're on different levels, but we're just different. So for example, taking me seriously, I had problems with that. Getting attention, lots of guys have much more problems with that than I had. So, you know, you have to play your cards wisely if you're a woman, but most of the days in a year, I would like to have a thing that I don't have, but you know, it's not always it's not always so. And especially with I have a feeling that at least now that our team is growing so fast, and I really, really have a challenging time settle these management structures. I believe that empathy comes in very handy, and there for sure I am in a very good position due to being a female. So yeah, I would say pluses and minuses, but I gave one interview on that topic that I really tried hard to be very diplomatic but still honest. So I can share it with
somebody. We'll check out that interview. Thanks. Please do send it. No, maybe just a quick question, because now at the end you mentioned that you grew quite rapidly. So did you start this company yourself, or was there a small team? And how big are you now in terms of employees?
So now we have just over 25 full-time employees. However, a lot of our employees are part-time, because in every market that we've been working in, we have somebody local, or at least somebody speaking the local language. So for this reason, until we get as many campaigns there that fill the whole day, we take people on part-time and then we enroll them full-time. I said we have just over 25 full-time. Oh, well, something else was a question.
How many were you when you started, and how many?
I wanted to mention this before, but I was told that not to be too long, so I was like, okay, leave the team part aside. We were three from the beginning, so Gasper, Martin, and myself. Gasper and me started together. We developed the business model. Martin is the IT. AI guy, so he joined 2 months later, and the three of us are the founders.
Perfect. All of you still at the company?
Yeah, of course. It's just that I talk all the time, so this is why I really like to put them under the spotlight too, if possible. But yeah, we're all, of course, still in the company.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Nika. Now I suggest we move to the debate. We have some questions in the chat.